During our week of prayer, before our prayer sessions each night, I read a portion of Scripture that related to the prosperous believer, prospering for and with the Lord. We read portions in relation to Joseph, Hezekiah, Daniel, and Abraham's servant, who all prospered in their work and in their service for the Lord. I thought that it would be a suitable way to conclude the week by drawing your attention to verse 14 of Ezra chapter 6, where we read these words, "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia." The book of Ezra records the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. At the end of the period known as the Kings, God, because of the apostasy, the sin, and the backsliding of Judah, sent the Babylonian armies to Judah and to Israel. Those armies defeated the armies of Judah. They destroyed the city. The walls were knocked down and destroyed, and the temple was burned with fire. Those who were not slain in the conflict were taken as slaves, servants, or captives to live out their days in Babylon. You will remember that Daniel was one of the captives. His three friends, they lived in that generation. And they were taken to live among the Babylonians in a far off land. And yet, at the end of 70 years, God had said through the prophet Jeremiah that captivity would only last for 70 years. And God's word is true. If God said to Jeremiah it would be 70 years and no more, then you can be sure that after 70 years the people would come home. And after 70 years, God stirred up the spirit of a Gentile king called Cyrus, and he permitted the Jews living in Babylon to return to the land of Judah and Jerusalem under Zerubbabel, under Ezra. Those Jews returned and they began to rebuild the temple of the Lord. God gave them a little reviving in their bondage. He opened up the door and opened up a way for them to return to their homeland, the land of covenant. And there they would live, there they would work, and there they would worship the Lord. And so they returned, and this book tells you how they began to rebuild the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. In chapter 6 and the verse 14, the building of the temple has come to a conclusion, because it tells us there that they builded and finished it. So they have come to the place where the temple is at the point of conclusion. But the verse not only tells us that the project, the building project, was concluded, it tells us that the elders of the Jews who built it and the people who built it, they prospered in the work of the Lord. And there's that theme coming through again. And now we're not speaking about an individual. Joseph prospered for God as an individual. Do you know why? Because he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham's servant prospered personally in the work that he was tasked to do. He was to find a bride for Isaac, and he prospered individually because he did that which was right. and he followed the commands of his master. And that teaches us that individually you can prosper with and for the Lord when you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and you abstain from sin and you live for God and you obey His commands in serving Him. You can prosper individually in the things of God. But this morning we read that the people collectively, as a congregation, as a people, they prospered for the Lord in the work of the Lord. Isn't that our desire for our congregation? That we will see a going forward and a prospering in the work of the congregation? Well, that's the message in chapter 6 and verse 14, that it was the congregation who prospered. Now let me just remind you before I go any further. Can I say that it is not my business nor concern as to whether you prosper in the things of the world, business, wealth, position. It is not really the minister's place to get involved in those private affairs of individuals. But let me say this. It's not that type of prospering that this verse is speaking about. And the type of prospering we're talking about is a spiritual prospering. It's a prospering in the work of the Lord. And I say it is the concern. It is the business of the preacher and the minister to ask the question, are you prospering with the Lord? You see, the Apostle John, in 3 John, his little epistle, there's only one chapter in that epistle. And the verse 2, he said that he desired that their health would prosper as their soul prospered. You know what he was saying there? Your soul is prospering with the Lord. And I trust you have the good measure of physical health that your soul knows in how it is doing and prospering with and for the Lord. And so, like the Apostle John, it is my prayer, my desire, my concern, and my question to you this morning, are you prospering in the things of the Lord? Now, from this verse, I want you to notice, firstly, the means whereby they prospered. How did this people prosper in the work of the Lord? Well, verse 14 tells us the elders of the Jews builded and they prospered through by the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. This verse teaches us that the people prospered under the ministry and under the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. And you will know if you've learned, and I assume most of the adults, if not all of the adults, we've learned the books of the Bible. You will know that Haggai and Zechariah were prophets who were inspired of God to write two little books in the Old Testament. And these men were not only prophets, they prophesied, they proclaimed, and they preached the word of God to the people before they builded, as they builded, and when they had concluded building the temple of the Lord. Now, the lesson, the chief lesson is this, that if you want to prosper in the work of the Lord, then spiritual prosperity is linked to God's word. Isn't that what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1? I quoted these verses last Lord's Day morning. I read them again, where the Lord told Joshua, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So the Lord is telling Joshua to observe the law, to understand the law, to obey the law of God, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Lord was confirming to Joshua, if you want to prosper in the way that I will lead you and I will guide you, if you want to have good success, then think about the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. Then you will prosper. Then you will have good success. And if we as a people want to have that prosperity in the service of the Lord, then it is linked to a hearing, an understanding, and an obeying of the Word of God. We're not to turn to the right hand or the left. We're not to compromise or water down the message of the gospel. We're not to put away the standards and principles of God's Word. We're to observe them, we're to hear them, and we're to obey them. Then God says to Joshua, you will have good success. It's linked to the Word of God. And into the midst of the people in Ezra's day comes two men, Haggai and Zechariah. They're anointed of God. They have a message from the Lord. And they prophesy and proclaim God's Word to the people. And the people prosper. And I am saying to you this morning that it is very clear and very evident. If you want to prosper in your Christian life and in the service of the Lord, then you need to be regularly under the ministry of God's Word. Not to forsake placing yourself under the ministry and preaching of God's Word. If you want to go on with the Lord, if you want to make progress with Him, if you want to know Him in a deeper and a fuller way, and you want to be blessed in His service, then you need to be constantly under the preaching of God's Word. Now, what exactly did Haggai and Zechariah preach that prospered these people so well? Well, we certainly don't have time this morning to have an in-depth examination of the ministries of these two men. But let me point out a couple of things that they proclaimed to the people that enabled them and helped them to prosper in the service of the Lord. Turn to Haggai chapter 1 for a moment. We'll take one example from each of these men. What exactly did they preach that caused the people to prosper in the service of the Lord? Well, Haggai chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 5. We're going to explain a little bit about this passage, but look at verse 5. Haggai is speaking to the people and he says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts." Do you notice that Haggai is just giving them the word of the Lord? That's what the preacher is to do. Now, Haggai's the messenger, and Haggai preached to them, and they prospered through his preaching. But Haggai is saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." This is not my word, this is the word of the Lord. And the preacher is simply giving the word of the Lord, and when the people received it, then they prospered. What was the word of the Lord? Consider your ways. Three words. Consider your ways. Haggai challenged the priorities of the people. You see, when the people returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, they laid the foundation of the temple, but then they stopped building the temple. You'll see that in Haggai 1 and verse 2. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." They had the foundation laid, but they stopped building the remainder of the temple. And the reason why they stopped building the temple, and we read that as well in Ezra 4 and 24, "Then ceased the work of the house of the Lord." The reason it stopped was because men made threats to them. They threatened persecution and violence. They threatened the authority of the king would come down upon them if they continued to build the temple. And so they stopped building the temple. And what did they do in the meantime? Well, look at verse 4. "Is it time for you?" This is Haggai 1. "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" When they stopped building the temple, they put all their efforts and all their energies and all their attentiveness into building their own homes, and they builded homes for themselves that were luxurious and complete and finished, and they lived comfortably in luxury, but God's house lay waste. Their priority was on their own lives, their own things, their own work, their own service, and God's house still lay waste. Haggai came onto the scene and he said, you need to consider your ways. Your life is taken up with yourself, and yet the service of God and the house of God lies waste. Now, people of God, consider your ways. Is it right? Is it right that we give all of our attention and all of our time and all of our energies to our own service and we neglect the work of God? Consider your ways. And it was that preaching that stirred the people to rededicate themselves to the service of the Lord's house and bring it to the place of conclusion. I wonder today, is God saying to some of his children, consider your ways? Maybe once you served the Lord well. You made time for his service. You were found in the place of prayer. You did something that sought to spread the gospel and tell the gospel to others. But now, you're simply sitting in the sidelines. You're taken up with the temporal things, the things of life. And your own life is prospering and doing well, but you're not serving the Lord as once you did or how you should. As the prophet saying, consider your ways. It's time again to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, when Haggai preached and they prospered under that ministry because they received it as of the Lord. He preached and he challenged the priorities of the people. But then just turn over to Zechariah. Now, if you're in Haggai, Zechariah is the next book. And Zechariah, of course, is the penultimate book of the Old Testament. You have Malachi, and just before Malachi, you have Zechariah. And it's Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. And it's a well-known verse. Oh, Haggai challenged the priorities of the people, but Zechariah exhorted them that they needed the Spirit of God in their service for the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 6 of Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the one who led the people back to recommence building the temple. And the Lord is saying to Zechariah, this is my word. It will come through you unto Zerubbabel and the people, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. When the work of the Lord ceased, it ceased because of might and power. We're told that in Ezra 4 and 23. It tells us they made them to cease by force and power. The word force means physical force. The word power means the human power of persuasion. And the enemies rose up and they caused the work of God's house to cease. By physical force and by human reasoning, they made threats. They spoke to influential men. And those men spoke to others, made other threats, and the work ceased. And when Zerubbabel was being charged to recommence the building of the temple again, the Lord reminded him that while the enemies might operate with physical force and might against the people of God, God's work would not be completed by might or force or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is the power of the Holy Ghost working in and through his people that will prosper them in the service of the sanctuary, in the work of God's house. And I remind each Christian this morning, we cannot serve God in the flesh. We cannot minister and we cannot be prosperous in our work for the Lord if we're doing it in the flesh. We need the help. We need the assistance. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And when the people in Zerubbabel's day understood that they must seek first God's kingdom and God's work, and they must work and serve him, and that they would do it by the power and the assistance and the help of the Spirit, then they prospered. And that's the ministry That's the means whereby these people prospered in the work of God. They listened to the preaching of the Word of God. They acted upon it, and God prospered them in their service. May the Lord do it for us. May He give us a blessed ministry, and may we be enabled to move forward in the service of the Lord as we listen to God's word. May it inspire us to work for Him and serve Him. I want you to turn back to Ezra chapter 6, and I want you to see the second thing about this spiritual prosperity. Not only the means by which they prospered, but notice the marks of their prospering. You see, as a consequence of hearing and heeding the word of God, there were a number of things that people did that proved or showed or evidenced that they were prospering in their soul and in the work of God. You'll notice firstly that they labored in the service of God. Verse 14, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai. Do you notice the two go together? The work for the Lord and the word of God. The prophets prophesied the word and the people worked. And it's God's word that will move us and motivate us to work for Him and to serve Him. The preacher will never give people the guilt trip, as it were. It's the word of God that will move and motivate us to be active in the service of the Lord. But it was in hearing the word of God that caused the people to labor and to work for the Lord and in His service to build up the temple. Did you ever notice in the Word of God that serving God, working for the Lord, is always depicted by illustrations that involve hard work and labor? Have you ever noticed that? The Lord Jesus Christ, when He called His disciples or His apostles, He told them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Isn't it hard work being a fisherman? I'm not talking about the boy that goes out for a Saturday afternoon to get his head charred, and he's sitting by the riverside, and he throws his line in, and he's really not caring whether he catches anything or not. He's glad to be out of the house. He's glad to be on his own. I'm not talking about that type of fisherman. I'm talking about the men that work the boats, and by they go out into the rough seas, and they've got to let down the nets, and they've got to work the ship, and they've got to bring the nets in, and it's cold, and it's wet, and it's blowing a storm and a gale all around them. It's hard work being a fisherman. I tell you, it's an effort and a labor to win souls for Christ. The Lord used, Paul used an illustration. He likened God's servants to be husbandmen. In other words, the farmer, I don't think there's any fishermen in the congregation. I know there's a few farmers, and they will tell us farming's hard work. And Paul was thinking about the one who would plow the land. And they didn't have the machinery we had. No, it was the yoke, and it was the oxen. And they plowed the land. And they had to perhaps gather out the large stones or boulders we would talk about, and they had to plow and clear the land, and then they had to go forth with their seed bag, and they would sow the seed by hand, and then they had to wait, and when they were gathering in the harvest, that was hard work too. Hard work. You see, sowing the gospel seed, spreading the good news of Jesus, my friend, it's labor, it's hard work, humanly speaking. The Apostle Paul also spoke to Timothy, the young pastor. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." He described the study of God's word as being a workman involving labor and effort. And now in this place, we also see that those building up the temple of God, they're likened to workmen working on the building site. And the builders will tell you the building site's hard work. The children should listen up, because they might want to get themselves as good an education as they can. for if they don't, it'll be toil and sweat and labor. But the point I'm making now is this, that when you're working on the building site, it's hard work. Do you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is likened to a spiritual temple? And when men are saved, they are described as living or lively stones that are built in to that spiritual temple. Listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. Sorry, it's 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. It tells, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. The Church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Do you see the picture, folks? The Church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual temple. It's a building site. And we are called to seek to win men. And when we persuade men of the gospel of God's salvation and they are converted to Christ, they're like a living, lively stone that's built into the temple, added to the church. But working on the building site, it's hard graft and work. The spreading the good news, the teaching of the gospel, that effort to win men and evangelize men, it's hard work, sweat, toil, tears and prayer. The Christian as a builder then is to seek to gain men and women to be part of that spiritual temple. And I tell you, it requires effort and labor and toil and prayers. But you know this, when God is prospering his people, it will be said of his people as it was in the days of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4 and 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And when God is going to prosper his people, he will give them a mind to work in the service of the Lord. Is there some service for the Lord you could be doing? Is there some service for the Lord you can get involved in to build up the temple? We used to sing a wee chorus in the children's meeting, building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. And the call went out, boys, will you help us? Girls, will you help us? Building up the temple of the Lord. Is there some wee service you can do to help build up the spiritual temple and win men and women to Jesus Christ as their Savior? So the marks of this prospering, they were willing workers, even though it required toil and labor. But you'll notice that they continued in the service of the Lord. For it tells us in verse 14 of Ezra 6, the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered. And then further down the verse, it tells us, and they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ told a little story about a man who intended to build a tower. And he said, what man who intends to build a tower doesn't sit down first, weigh up the cost and all that will be involved so that he is able to finish it? And the lesson the Lord was teaching was this, that you are to continue in your work and service for the Lord. It may change over the years. As we grow older, we maybe don't have the same energy as the younger believer has. Our service may change in its nature or character over the years, but we are to continue in our service until we come to cross Jordan and enter into heaven. Isn't that what Jesus said at the end of his life? In John 17, verse 4, when he prayed that high priestly prayer the night before he was crucified, he said, I have glorified thee on earth, speaking to his Father. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. God has a wee work and service for you to do, and he wants you to do it until it's finished. The Apostle Paul was made of the same stuff, as we would say. For he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. And he was able to say not only that he continued in his witnessing, but he was able to say at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he said that he had finished his course and he had kept the faith. They finished the temple, and we are to serve the Lord until his work for us on earth is done. That's the marks of someone who is prospering with the Lord in their souls. They will labor for the Master, and they will continue in that service until the day and hour God calls them home. The means by which they prospered, it was the ministry of God's word. The marks of their prospering, they labored for the Lord. And then finally, I just want to say very briefly, there is a message from their prospering. The message of verse 14 is this, that God's people and God's work can prosper even in difficult times. Take time to read the book of Ezra. You discover that at the very commencement of this book, the people of God were under the authority of a Gentile ungodly king. They were under the control and the authority of the Persians, the Medes and the Persians. And yet God so worked in that king's heart that he set a decree that the people could return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Our God is on the throne and he can work in the circumstances. Oh, our land, our country is sinking deep in sin. And ungodliness abounds, and yet he is able to work the circumstances in our day and generation when God's work will prosper and his spiritual temple will be built again. And as you read on in this book, you discover that the enemies of God opposed the building of the temple. You know, it doesn't matter what age we live in. There will be those who will oppose God's work. They will try to bring it down. They will try to cause the work to cease. And there are those who in this very province would like the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ to cease. I tell you, even in such an age and generation, God's work is able to prosper. For when men tried to stop the building of the temple, what did the Lord do? He stirred up Haggai and Zechariah to prophesy. He organized and arranged the outward circumstances to become favorable again. He gave the people a mind to work, and the temple of God was finished to the glory of God. And my, the old enemy had to run away and hang his head in shame. And I tell you, when we live in an ungodly age and there are opponents to the gospel message, God is still able to prosper his people and his work. And I simply say in closing, we pray that the Lord will do it in this day and generation. And he'll cause his people to prosper. And he'll cause his cause to prosper to the glory of his great name.